Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension. I am your co-host, Rachel, and I hop in here every other week to let you know what's going down. You may notice that we are re-releasing one of our episodes from the backlog this week. Don't worry, everyone's fine, but yeah, sometimes things happen. Things don't work, and hey, medical stuff happens. Chronic pain's a bitch. So we're going to go ahead and re-release one of our old episodes this time around, but we thought maybe it was a good one to remind you guys that maybe existed. What with, I don't know, maybe a big milestone coming up in our podcast. You know, just no reason. We liked this one. So please, thank you guys so much for being understanding. Sometimes, you know, life gets in the way, and this is our hobby. We love to do this. It's so much fun, but you know, like I said, sometimes life gets in the way. So thank you so much for being understanding. If you're new, this is a great episode, so, you know, still enjoy it. And let me just quickly run through the usual, social media. We got it. It's at Textual Tension Pod across the board. Patreon, we have that too at patreon.com/textualtension. Just a reminder, you cannot search for us. You have to type that entire thing in because we do adult content. And on Patreon, there's some extra fun stuff that we released for this episode, including a movie watch along, which basically we recorded us getting really drunk and watching the movie, and there's a countdown, so you can, you know, it's 3, 2, 1, play, and then we're all watching the movie together, so that was a lot of fun. So that's over there on Patreon, so, you know, maybe check out Patreon. And I think that's just about it. We don't have any new patrons this week, I believe. So let me real quickly go ahead. I mean, just because it's a throwback doesn't mean I'm not going to give you, you know, some romance novel wisdom. Hey. What's Christian Grey's least favorite ice cream flavor? Vanilla. He really hates it when they have it at BDSM and Jerry's. That was so stupid. Oh, God. Well, you know, like I said, thank you guys so much for sticking with us when, you know, sometimes those weeks that life happens. And hey, you're great. We really appreciate you. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 69. Nice. Oh, love, tearing me apart from the inside out so I can see myself from the inside. Blah, blah, blah! 69, nice. Hello! Welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I am your co-host, Margie.
Every other week, one of us reads and summarizes a romance novel for our other unsuspecting co-host. This week, Margie's listening in. 69, nice. And together, we unpack what the fuck just happened.
I can't believe we've been around for 69 episodes.
Dude, can I just say, and a buddy of mine pointed this out to me today, it is currently April 22nd. Why did we not record this on 420?
We could have been so... I could have been so blazed out right now. You could not be, but I could. No,
but you could. And yeah. Honestly, we're hacks and frauds. That is
it why. May have been better if I wasn't, because if I was blazed out, I would just be like, he's in the room. He's in the room.
Now, wait. Now, hey. So, first things first. This is a very special episode. Yes. This is a milestone for us. Yes. So, I have a couple things that I'm going to give you, Margie, free reign in doing. Yes. I'm giving you license. If you call out, so for instance, that intro is going to have air horns in it. If you call out a sound effect, I will do my damnedest to find that fucking sound effect. So, that's a thing. We have all sorts of bonus content that is going to be coming out that I'm sure we don't have sponsors, that Intro Rachel has already talked about.
We're not cool enough for sponsors.
No, not yet.
No.
And I'm going to start things off a little differently here. Bitsy agrees. So... I'm not going to Margie, let's be honest, Margie actually does know what this book is, but...
Yes, I do.
I'm not going to say what the name of the book is. I am, however, going to read my list of triggers.
Okay.
And I want our listeners to see if they can guess before we say. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Sexual abuse. Do you want to call it pedophilia? Do you want to call it statutory rape? Totally up to you.
Oh, yeah, I remember that part.
Uh-huh. emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After research, I would say physical abuse. And gross misuse of genes. Gross misuse of genes.
Those genes should be burned and exercised. If they existed.
Listener, do you know what this book is? Margie, do you want to go ahead and open up that link that I sent you and describe the cover for our listeners?
I cannot wait. Here we go.
I'm using my sassiest mug of tea. I'm not drinking wine right now because I need all my fucking faculties about me to do this. And it broke me. This book broke me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was getting messages from you.
Broke me.
Oh, boy. There's something about seeing those words that really just freaks me out. Okay. So, listeners, it is a very iconic cover. It is.
We are just textually teasing these people all over the place, aren't we?
All over the place. Ooh. Edging and edging and
God.
Edging.
Oh, God.
So, it is a black background,
uh-huh,
and then a gray tie with, uh-huh, I don't know how to describe that pattern on it. Is it like
a paisley fish, thing?
Yeah, or a fish scale kind of almost.
Oh, like a herringbone?
Yeah, something like that. And it's kind of, the tie is tied, but it's sort of undone.
Uh-huh.
And the cover of the book is called 50 Shades of Grey. By E.L. James.
Yeah, it is.
Surprisingly, though, this book only has a 3.66 on Goodreads.
Really?
It has over 2 million ratings.
Okay. That
tracks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. The most highly rated, not highly rated, most rated book that we've done.
Yes.
I am the one that came up with this idea, listeners. Yes. I did this to myself. I'd never read the book before, never seen the movies, none of that. This broke me. And here's the problem. Parts of it really weren't that bad. It was fine. We've definitely read worse. But there were just some things. Go ahead.
I think that this book was, in a way, and it was a Twilight fan fiction. If you don't know, it was a Twilight fan fiction.
Yes, it was.
That when after it came, there's before 50 Shades of Grey and there's after 50 Shades of Grey when
it
came to writing.
Sphere.
In the romance sphere. And it definitely broke ground. It didn't do it well. Not well.
No.
But it broke ground.
So this is probably going to be a little bit longer of an episode. Just a little bit. Because I have my summary. Not that there's much of a plot. But I do have a summary. And then I have some... I want to have some discussions with Margie.
Okay.
So,
can I read it? Can I read it, please? Please.
Yeah. Well, so there's one other thing. I want to explain a little bit as to why this book broke me. And the reason it broke me is because some people probably have this too, where if you don't want to do something, it will take you forever.
Yes.
Is that an ADHD brain thing? Is it just dread? I don't know.
Yeah. Or but a combination of both.
This book took me so long to read. It took me a full week.
It did. And it's not a long book.
It's not.
But it is painful. It is. So listeners, I have, you know, full disclosure, I have read this book before. It was a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if, I don't think I got the whole way. I may have gotten the whole way through. Because it is, I mean, if you're reading it for comedy, this was even before Textual Tension, I was reading this book for comedy.
Yeah.
It is really funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, play with the loudest toy in the room now.
She has thoughts and they're all upset about this book.
So before I even knew what 50 Shades of Grey was about, I ordered it from the library because it was so popular. I was like, and I heard it was a romance, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I love romance. Well, if it's a really popular romance like Outlander, I want to read it. I want to see what the big deal is. And so my mom asked me one day, and this is probably when I was in my early 20s or something. Oh, and it was summer and I was home. And she was like, oh, did you order? Do you know anything about that book, 50 Shades of Grey? And I was like, oh, you know, mom, I don't know anything about it, but I did order it from the library. So I'm going to wait until it comes in and then I'll read it. And she like pursed her lips and was like,
I can imagine Carrie doing that.
Okay, but you're not allowed to read that in my home. And I was like, I live here. And also, God, I hope she never listens to this episode. I've read way worse than 50 Shades of Grey in her home.
We've like, recorded episodes we've recorded, in her home.
Yeah, we've recorded episodes in her home.
Yeah,
so.
There's nothing. Sorry, Carrie.
Yeah, sorry. I love you, Mom. But
you thought I was a good influence.
She still thinks you're a good influence.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Yep.
So, all right. So, let's do this whole book thing.
Yes.
And full disclosure, because I had such a difficult time reading this fucking book and writing my notes, please call me on my bullshit when I get something in the plot wrong, because I did try.
Yeah.
But it is, I don't know. Now,
right.
Rule number one for this entire thing, and this is something after doing research and talking to some people going into it that I really, really, really care about. We are not going to kink shame anybody.
Yay!
Again, louder for the people in the back.
Yay!
I don't give a shit what
Yay!
You do.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Do it safely.
Right. I
do
am
it
not...
with enthusiastic consent.
Exactly. But that means we are not going to make fun of the sex in this book, because it's fine. It's sex. Like, I mean, not outside of our normal making fun
okay,
of sex.
Okay, I was about to say, I was
no.
like,
we're not going to be like, oh my God, that's so gross. Like, you know, why would they do that? Like, whatever. It's fine. Like, it's fine. But there are parts that are not okay in
right.
a kind of abusive way that I will make fun of. So no yums were yucked in the making of this podcast. There.
And could I read...
Yes, read the damn description.
Finally!
Sorry, I forgot okay. about it.
Okay, so description of the book as on Goodreads. When literature... guess who just got into the litter box?
She knew it's shit.
She knows it's shit. So
when literature student Anastasia Steele...
What a name.
...goes to interview young entrepreneur Christian Grey, she encounters a man who is brilliant, beautiful, and intimidating. The mm-hmm. The unworldly, innocent Anna is startled to realize she wants this man, and despite his enigmatic reserve, finds she is desperate to get close to him. Unable to resist Anna's quiet beauty, wit, and independent spirit, Grey admits he wants her too, but on his own terms. Shocked yet thrilled by Grey's singular erotic tastes, Anna hesitates. For all the trappings of success, his multinational businesses, his vast wealth, his loving family, Grey is a man tormented by demons and consumed by the need to control. When the couple embarks on a daring, passionately physical affair, Anna discovers Christian Grey's secrets and explores her own dark desires. Erotic, amusing, and deeply moving, the 50 Shades trilogy is a tale that will obsess you, possess you, and stay with you forever.
God, I hope that's not true. We
so
need to get
notice.
To Planned Parenthood right now.
So you'll notice.
Is there a medication I can take?
Please, scrub it from my brain. You'll notice, and this is a little neat. Margie, I didn't know. I know you've done some marketing and stuff, and I don't mm-hmm. know if you know this trick. But you'll notice that in that description, they said it will move you. They didn't say where to. So it could move you anywhere.
You to feel anything.
Anything. So we have our characters. I've already said the triggers, so
yeah,
I'm not going to say those again. Oh, they reference some drug stuff too. So there's that.
Okay. I remember that.
Yeah. So we have our characters. Christian Grey. Little on the nose there for the name, don't you think? It's fine. It's fine. He is rich.
Yeah. Done. That's personality.
He has black hair. He has blue eyes. He's rich. He's just so hot. And his major personality traits are being rich and broken.
sounds like you're a typical white man.
Right?
Yeah.
Rich and broken.
Rich
and broken. And privileged.
Heterosexual white man.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Anastasia Steele. And I mentioned this to Margie. When you're first introduced to Christian Grey's building, they explain it as being full of steel and gray stuff, like sandstone and gray things. And I'm like, oh, you mean like their names? Cool. Great. That's such a great literary device. All right. Anastasia Steele. Brown hair. She just doesn't think she's that pretty.
Oh.
Green eyes. Super innocent. And by innocent, I mean has apparently never left the house throughout all of college. And has an inner goddess, which is probably a superpower.
I hate her inner goddess. I remember. I will say, the inner goddess
was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, I hated her.
I heard so much shit about
that
the inner
goddess.
The reason I didn't mind, we'll get into it. There's a reason I didn't mind the inner goddess. All right. Scene one.
Mm.
Anastasia's roommate is like really sick. Really sick. She's got the flu. This is in the middle of finals week, and her roommate is supposed to be going to give an interview to some rich entrepreneur dude. And she, like, begs Anna and is like, hey, please.
Just like that.
Just like that. You have 23 minutes until dinner.
You better leave that in.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, okay.
And she, it's only going to get worse until 7 o'clock rolls around. And she's like, oh, God, no, I have to study for
finals.
Yeah? She's like, I have to study for finals. This is terrible. Oh, but I have to do it because, like.
Friendship.
Look at her. She's pitiful. This was the best time to record. This is why we usually record before this. And it's great.
Yeah.
So she does. She goes to. And I will, to this day, have no idea from what city to what city. I know they're going to Seattle, I think, but I have no idea what city they start in because I remember reading San Francisco and Vancouver, and I don't know. No idea. I'm assuming the states.
I can't remember either. Who cares?
As we know, I have a problem with keeping track of places in books. Yes. So it's fine.
Hogwarts.
It's fine. Hogwarts, it's fine. Yeah. So I hope not. I don't want this much abuse in Hogwarts. So Anna is a bundle of anxiety, which like, I get
social anxiety is real.
It's super real. Mm-hmm. And she's sitting there talking to herself. She's like, oh, he's going to be like an old gross dude. It's fine. It'll be fine. Bad news bears. He's really fucking hot. And he's young. Turns out he's rich. He's hot. And, it really gets Anna's jimmies wrestling.
Oh,
really
shit.
Wrestling. And so she asks him all these questions, and it's like, she follows mostly the list. But there was just, are you gay? And that was weird.
That, honest mistake in any.
Is it? I took issue with that. Because literally it's like, oh, but you never have a woman around. Are you gay? Really? Is that the assumption that we make here? Great. We're going to chalk that up with the fact that Anna's the only multicultural background person in this book is Anna's best friend, who turns out to kind of be a sexual predator. So, yep. You know, great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yep.
Anyway, this is Rachel. You got spicy ranting about stuff, Rachel. Congratulations, listeners. Welcome to 69. Bah, bah, bah. I'm going to try to find an angry air horn to go with that. So she does it. And she leaves, and she's like, oh, thank God, I'm never going to see him again.
Well, does she not? I thought, does she want to see him again, or is she just kind of...
She has this moment of, like, social anxiety embarrassment where she's like, he's so hot and everything, but I embarrassed the hell out of myself, so thankfully I will never see him again. But I wish I did, but whatever.
How was he acting during this whole...
He was... quietly amused at her and just kind of being, it seemed real patronizing personally, and just kind of odd. And he did offer her a job as an intern, and I was like,
yeah, if you want to fuck someone, you probably shouldn't hire them.
No, but not knowing how the book ended, I had a plan initially of, oh, if he hires her, I am talking to my friend in HR and we are having a conversation. He didn't, so it's fine.
Okay.
But that was a thing. All right. So she leaves and she's just like, it definitely got her going in that he's steamy and she almost like beefed it coming out of the elevator and like all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And her roommate like goes and listens to the recording and is like, hey, just so you know, like, you guys seem super into each other, huh? But be careful. I have a bad feeling about him. Okay.
So does Mitzi. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
29 minutes.
Full conversations. They happen. This is turning.
Mother!
Do you hear the sass?
Yeah.
Do you hear the sass I am getting right now? Yeah, so she's like, hey, he's super into you. And like, I've never seen you get this steamy. And like, you know, your Jimmy's wrestled for a man. But be careful, I have a bad feeling about him. Okay. That's not foreshadowing.
Giving
that's
me,
a shovel.
Giving little mixed signals there, best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the difference between foreshadowing and a shovel to the face? Who knows? The world may never know. And we are also introduced to her best friend, another one of her best friends, Jose, who again is the only person that's not white in this book. And we'll see how that, stay tuned to see how that turns out. And now what I'm calling LT1, love triangle number one.
Oh, okay.
LT1, he is the first corner of the love triangle. And okay. Margie, I bet you didn't know that you were going to get a geometry lesson today.
Oh, no.
So, at the end of this...
I almost failed geometry. Please, no.
So, at the end of this, I want you to tell me how many sides a triangle has. Scene two. Okay. God. Scene two. Anna has to go to work. So, she has been juggling,
goddamn,
like...
Goddamn capitalism.
Fucking capitalism. She works at this hardware store, and she's been juggling studying for finals and working and having to go do that interview with, God, the sexy man that she's thankfully never going to have to see again. And guess who shows up while she's at work?
So wait, where does she work again? I'm sorry.
The hardware store.
Hardware store, that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Guess who shows up at work? It's Money. Money shows up at work.
I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
You know, if I'm forced to live in a capitalist society, then I would be happy to see Money there too.
Margie, why does this book have a really rich guy whose name is Christian who is tempting a woman, and the book from last 2 weeks ago had a really rich guy whose name was Nathan that sounded kind of like Satan who was tempting a woman?
Bang with the shovel. To
you
the
will,
face.
You will notice this book is not subtle about anything.
No.
So
no.
Strap the fuck in for that shovel.
So what is
face.
He getting at the hardware store, Rachel?
Well, you
what
know,
is
it's,
he getting?
It's really funny because like she's really flustered and everything, and she's like, "Can I help you?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I need some cable ties."
Just like that.
Yeah,
with
just
the
like
sniff.
That. With a sniff. Probably sexily licks his upper lip or something, too.
And so I'm going to refuse to serve you and ask that you leave the store after doing that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gray. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Money. Gray.
Please be on your way. Thank you, Money.
So he buys some cable ties. She shows him where those are, which, like, I don't know if you've ever been in a hardware store. It ain't exactly rocket science to find your way around.
But Rachel.
Whoa. Episode 69, we learned we've been lying to you this whole time. I'm Margie.
But Rachel. Romance.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
He also buys masking tape. Is that part of the romance?
I really don't like that. Okay, listeners, I want you guys to know that I have an empty glass and a wine bottle right next to me. And I am just like, I am trying to avoid it until the moment I need it. And I'm not
We're going to see how long my recording, I'm at 20 minutes of recording right now. We are going to see how long Margie lasts.
How long I last.
It's going to be so good. So he buys masking tape, cable ties, and also is like, is there anything else you think I might need? And she's like,
well, what are you trying to do?
She's like,
are you building a shed?
Are you DIYing stuff? You could say that. I don't know, maybe some coveralls? Honestly, though, that is exactly what my response would have been.
I love it. Like, what? Yeah. But what are, I would be like, well, what are you doing? I don't know. Why don't you tell me? I can't.
I can't. Do you need a generator?
Yeah.
Do you need what? Lawnmower? I don't know.
Do you want a chainsaw? Like, what do you?
Oh God! Ring.
What are you trying to do?
Margie. Anna, you can't be close to me. I'm too bad for you. Ring.
You are gonna put that sound in, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Chainsaw sound effect. Oh, Christ. So So he buys all that stuff and leaves. And she's also like, hey, why are you in town? You live an hour away. And he's like, oh, I was just in the area.
How does he know where she works?
Boy, Margie, I think that you might have hit a certain stalkery nail on the head. Oh, hey, stalking is a trigger.
But wait, Rachel, is it stalking if you're money? If you have money, is it stalking?
You can get away with a lot if you have money.
If you have money, yeah. Yeah.
Just wait. There's more he can get away with money. Yay. Also, we are now introduced... Wow. Was that right into the microphone?
Yes.
What a good child. All of the co-hosts are showing up right now. 13 minutes.
13.
Now we're introduced to love triangle number 2.
Oh.
This is the second side to our love triangle.
Is it an intersecting triangle? Is it like a love heart? Like I'm imagining like two triangles kind of on top of one another, you know? And then there's like a Venn diagram of triangles.
We're at 3, aren't we? Because LT1 is Christian, LT2 is Jose, and LT3 is the kid of the people that own the hardware store.
Oh, I didn't even know that one.
Yup.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She had so many love triangles. Well, I think at least two out of three of those guys are terrible, so.
So much sass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope that this, I don't know if the mic's picking up all these meows. I desperately hope they are. It is. But before he leaves, she's, one thing that she does have solid footing on is like, oh yeah, you know, the article's going great. The only thing is we really wish we'd been able to do a photo shoot with you claws or something. That was threatening, Bitsy. And he's like, oh, okay, sure. Let's do one tomorrow. And she's like, what? Okay. And so he agrees.
And also, why does she need to be there? It's not her article.
It sure isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, if you're wondering why I'm out of breath, I had to go feed the cats and then left my phone downstairs. And what I'm saying is this book has destroyed me.
Okay. So. Ready?
She apparently has to go to a photo shoot because reasons.
Yeah.
Fine. So they do the photo shoot the next day.
He wouldn't have gone if she wasn't there.
He asks Anna if he can take her out for coffee.
Oh, coffee. Yeah. Coffeva.
Actually, coffee, not like
coffeva.
Sexy coffee.
Not sexy.
Have you had to open your wine yet?
No, I haven't. Aren't you proud of me?
I'm so proud. Okay, so she goes to this photo shoot. He asks her out for coffee and she's really shy about it and everything. And it's like one of the weirdest dates I've ever read in a book ever.
Yeah.
Because it's just so uncomfortable. Like, I'm not going to lie. There were a couple scenes in this book. Social anxiety, Rachel, had to skip.
Was it uncomfortable because of her social anxiety or was it uncomfortable because of all the weird sexual tension?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Okay. I appreciate it. And this is something I will say about this is that Anna was in a lot of ways very relatable. So this is kind of in terms of she has this like inner like
goddess.
Obviously her inner goddess, but she also has like, what does she call it? The other part of herself, which is like her like rational self, like logic brain kind of.
Yeah.
And boy, did logic brain have some relatable things to say. And that was fine. Like, that was cool. But, like, there are definitely a lot of, like, social things where it's like, okay. But then it kind of got to a point, and you know, I get it. Self-confidence is really important, and it's hard for people, and I totally understand that. But boy, did I want to just choke a bitch sometimes.
Why? What would she say in particular?
It was just so much of this, like, oh, no, that could never be it. Over and over and over and over.
So there's no way
over.
He could ever be interested in someone like me.
It never. Despite literally being told, yes.
I'm attracted
no.
to you. No. Why would he just yes. tell you that? Why would he just tell you that? Oh. Guys don't tell you that for free. It's hard to get them to tell you it at all.
Communication is a theme in this book. Okay.
Huh, what'd you say?
Yeah. Uh-huh, what?
What?
Huh? And by that I mean it was awful. So despite claiming that it was really important,
Okay, one more thing about that conversation. Did they talk about anything that they have in common, or any talk about interests at all on either side?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They talk a little bit about like. They do talk about like her love of books and how she wants to go to England instead of Paris and like that. But it also takes like all of 15 minutes. It's not a long conversation.
I mean, it is just coffee. It's not dinner.
Right. But it is just him sexily eating a muffin in front of her. Like that's
not he should have gone with the croissant.
Yeah. Right. And then also he gives her his card so she has a cell phone number and stops her from walking out into the street because she's so just the biggest bundle of anxiety that she can't look where she's going both ways.
Which yeah, we're taught that from the age of four.
That self-preservation just goes out the fucking window. And this is where I actually saw the very first commonality between this and Twilight was the whole like saving her from the, oh my God, Anna. And she's sitting there in his arms just thinking, oh, please kiss me. Please kiss me. And he's like, I'm looking for you.
Drop her.
Right? Do a flip. No, it's like it's like this, I'm no good for you, Anna. You gotta stay away from me. Bitch, you just bought me coffee.
You bought me coffee and also like have intruded upon my life. You were the one who walked to the hardware store that I worked at.
Rachel Rant incoming. This shit is my biggest pet peeve in a fucking romance novel is someone coming up to me and being like, no, oh, I like you. Let's go get coffee. Let's do this thing. Oh, you're, you know, giving me the eyes. Hey, I'm no good for you. The fuck? That's not what communication, how that fucking works. No, if you're going to tell me you don't think you're good for me, then I think, have no self-esteem. Two, I'm not here for that, and I'm going to leave.
I'm busy.
If you don't think you're good. Right, I do not have the time nor the crayons to explain to you why I'm not going to fix you.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry.
Yep. Yep.
You got to fix yourself. It ain't my responsibility. I will support therapy.
I pay $320 a month for therapy.
Yeah.
You need to get it. Christian Grey is a multi-billionaire. Right. He can afford a therapist.
They reference a therapist.
Oh,
he sees two. However,
probably needs more.
Conveniently, they're out of town this month. I'm not kidding. That but is the reason.
Even if he's, they're both out of town. If they were that, if his behavior is that concerning, they should have either referred him to someone else, or he probably needs to seek like higher level treatment for his problems. If he does not have the tools to survive for a month without his therapist for a month, that's highly concerning.
His behavior's about to get crazier. All right. So, anyway. And also, when she, like, I think it's, like, the next day after, like, a final or something, she goes back to her house, which he hasn't been to. Yeah. And there is a package on his front door, or on her front door, of three original copies of this, like, specific English classical, like, literature, like, these books. That are worth like $20,000 a piece. And
that's
on the note,
so uncomfy.
And on the note, it has a quote from the book. Because the book is like, again, whatever the hell the author, I never remember the girl's name, lady's name.
I think it's like Hardy or something like that. Because they talk about that book in the movie too.
Has the subtlety of a shovel.
Yeah.
Sorry, the subtlety of the Kool-Aid man.
oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And in these books, it's about this woman who is like being tempted by this like dude that's gonna debauch her. So, you know, great. Quotes about that.
Wait, hold on, Rachel. One second. I just have to do something.
Oh, I thought you were gonna damn it.
I expelled the demon from my body.
I thought you were gonna go for the wine. Alright.
I'm so close, Rachel. I'm so close. I you just need one more thing to take me over that there. sweet edge.
So props to her. Yeah. She is like, I cannot accept these. Like, yeah. They are gonna be returned. And never once questions how it got there. But that's fine. It's fine. So after finals, they go out
and
get trashed.
Money.
Money, right? Money. Yeah. Money. 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 Money makes stalking romantic. textual tension. Money makes stalking romantic.
Money makes stalking legal.
God. Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway, so after finals, they go out and get trashed. Mm-hmm. This is, by the way, the first time Anne has been drunk.
I remember this part.
Well, Look, Chef. Hey, social anxiety, Rachel. Why don't you come here for a second? Good.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're doing so good. Now go stand in that corner. And beat your head against the wall, because that's what happened. For the next little bit. So,
I am literally imagining like a little Rachel going and beating her head against a wall, and it just made me really sad.
At least it's not the table. Almost
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
So, this woman, having lived under a rock apparently, never been drunk before. Knows she's never been drunk before. And is like, well, I'm on margarita number 6. I'm going to go get some beers. And then stands up and realizes she's obliterated.
Oh,
no
God.
Shit.
Was no one looking
Sherlock.
After her?
Apparently
How
not.
Old is she?
22 if she's graduating college.
Yeah, 21, 22. My
She'd be 22, yeah.
Was no one looking after this sweet summer child?
Honestly, I think that might be the travesty here, is that she just needs a friend.
She needs a... Well, so she has that roommate.
She has Kate.
She's
who, like,
Kate.
Has moments. She has good moments.
Yeah.
But.
But.
So.
Come on.
Yeah. So it's her and Kate and Jose. She is obliterated when she stands up and thinks it's a great idea to go and drunk call LT1. Money. Christian.
Ladies, never drunk dial your exes. Don't drunk dial a man. Never drunk dial a man.
And I will tell you, right now, I have no idea what she said to him because I straight up skipped that part because I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Rachel, that's an important part.
I know that she makes him think that she's in trouble and he shows up to save her.
That is very, but that's an important thing. We need the context of that conversation.
I will tell you that that happens. I'm not going to tell you exactly what happens. I skimmed enough of it to get the context,
okay.
but did not read it specifically because I would not have picked the book up again because anxiety is real.
He was like, where are you?
Yeah, essentially. It was, Rachel.
Rachel.
To me. So, he comes up to quote-unquote rescue her.
Please remind me, listeners, why I am such trash that I still, after reading books like this, I'm like, but dark broody heroes.
Okay, there is a difference between brood and dumpster fire.
Yeah, I know, but like the
this
line-
This ain't broody. This is not broody, this is-
He gets broody.
Oh, there is, it is an attempt at broody, and it falls really quickly into like this man needs help.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All right.
There's
all right,
a difference. So, and honestly, it's lucky that he stalks her enough to find out where she is that fast because Jose, again, the only not white character in this book, is trying to sexually assault Anna when he shows up.
So what does that mean, sexually assault? Is he like
So in this case he's like now they are drunk. Still means it's sexual assault.
Yeah.
Consent, my dudes.
Still not
so
okay.
So he is like all over her, trying to grab her, trying to be like, you know I like you, you know, come on, just kiss me, and like getting like all up in her everything. Yeah. So.
It's good.
It's assault,
good.
Baby.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Love
it's
that.
Fine. So Christian and his brother shows up. Rescues her, gets her a large thing of water. Turns out Kate and Christian's brother have got the over
so
the moon
Kate
eyes
is
for
her
each other.
Roommate.
Yes. Okay. They're both drunk dancing on the floor, and Christian's like, I got this one. Anna proceeds to puke all over herself, which is great, and then passes out in the middle of the dance floor and wakes up in Christian's hotel. Can I just say, he knows where she lives. Why'd he take her to his hotel? Yeah, all the way up, baby. There it is. We
little,
made it like 30, 40 minutes.
I'm
somewhere
proud of myself.
Oh, you did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she wakes up in his hotel without pants on. Not in a sexy way, just like she had throw up all over her shoes.
Okay.
And he slept in the bed next to her, in case you were wondering. And and
took a big gulp of wine for that one, listeners.
Good. Oh, well, wait, hold on. Don't worry, his assistant bought her all new clothes and lingerie, and it all fits.
So sidebar, that is the person who I want to write the story about.
Yes.
Who's having a legitimate, healthy relationship on the side. Gets called up at like, 6 a.m. It's like, And he's, Christian Grey's like, I need you to go buy these clothes. And she's like, what in the hell
are you
talking about?
Oh, hun, it's not a woman.
Oh.
It's his ex-military chauffeur driver.
Okay, so it's actually the dude.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's also like,
it fits perfectly. It's
kind of that thing though, where if I would like to think if this happened in real life, this kind of thing, that dude, the chauffeur driver, would be concerned that, Christian, is there a naked woman running around your apartment? Why do you need a full outfit? Like, this seems concerning. Is she okay?
The lacy lingerie, I was like, okay, sports bras are pretty unit like size. Well, as an owner of boobs, I do not think I could look at another woman and be like, oh, she wears this size.
Yeah.
Because, spoilies, boobs come in a lot of shapes and sizes.
Yeah. Or honestly, a bralette.
Right. Anything. Okay. Anyway, we're not going to. Yep. Mm-hmm. However, she wakes up, not hungover. I remember those days.
Magic.
Woof. Woof. After all that sugar. I was still
hungover.
I still would have been hungover. Blech. So, magical, perfectly fitting lingerie and clothes. Mm-hmm. And they finally have the conversation of, hey, you want to come over tonight?
Sex. What?
Yeah. Do you want to come over tonight? Because I think we're both attracted to each other. And she's like, yeah, all right. I work. Pick me up afterwards. So he picks her up from work. After work. I think it's actually her last day at the place. I think. Maybe. I think. I don't remember. Not going to lie. I'm a hack and a fraud. Not going to look it up.
I hope she took a shower.
She did.
Okay.
She managed to go home. Talk to Kate about it. Kate helped her shave everything.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. And took a shower and then went to work. So, you know, it's fine. She's wearing her good jeans. Don't worry.
Time is an illusion, apparently.
It's fine. So, yeah, she woke up at like 7 in the morning.
Were her legs not shaved?
She shaved all the Ghiblis too.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because I'm like wondering how long it took them both to get her all shaved down.
She had like a couple hours, so like it wasn't crazy.
I am overthinking this.
Yes,
I'm just imagining two girls like in the bathtub, one getting one leg, one getting the other.
You get the front cooter, I'll get the bag.
We gotta hack all this off.
Quick, get the weed whacker. Yeah, thank God I'm going to work today.
She's in the back using masking tape and like pulling off hair.
No, it's a straight up fucking weed eater.
Yes.
Ringing, ringing, ringing. Jesus Christ. Margie, haven't you ever passed by the tiny lawnmower section in the hardware store? They sell those little eyedroppers full of gasoline for them.
Rachel, go. Just keep moving. I don't even have anything else for that. I'm sorry. I'm worthless to you.
So off the rails. Yes. So in a power move that surprised nobody, Christian shows up and is like, hey, let's fly in Charlie Tango my helicopter up to Seattle so we can fuck. So he drives her to his house in a helicopter. No mention made of how fucking cold it is in helicopters. And just how, saying.
I want access to my home. I don't want to feel like I have to get back in the helicopter to get back home. You know what I mean?
Right? Oh, yeah. This is like that thing where like never lets a dude pick you up on your first date to the extreme. So
he has money. He can murder you and literally get away with it.
Yeah. So they're talking about sex, like just stuff. And like she's like real like kind of thing. Words. Hey, Margie, what's in your pleasure room?
What is in my pleasure room? Well, Rachel, come on, you know.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I helped you pick it out. All those tiny lawnmowers.
No, I was gonna say more pictures of Spider-Man.
All right. All right, I did get you all those pictures. I forgot. Oh, how could I forget? So it's not a bunch of red leather that you can't bleach.
Red leather?
Oh, yeah,
red
it's all
leather
red.
Is not sexy. Not an entire room covered in red leather.
I it's mean, got a, it's like black.
Black leather is way sexier than red
leather. It's like all the restraints and stuff are black and everything else is red leather, including, I should mention, the bed. The entire bed.
So wait, okay, how does this come about, though? How does this come... Please explain how he shows her this pleasure room that he has.
So they're talking about, like, just things are getting steamy in their conversation, and finally she's like, no, I want to know about you. He's like, you want to know about me? Here. And he takes her and just shows her the fucking...
Hey, listen, I think that she may have wanted to see, like, your bookshelf or know right. about your high school experience, maybe, or, like...
All that the first light time, doesn't touch.
All the first time you kissed a girl or a boy, like, why don't you tell me about that stuff? Nope. Oh, that's, like... That's like if I met this guy and he was so hot. So let's imagine that's Tom Hiddleston, right?
Sure.
I met Tom Hiddleston and he's like, wow, Margie, I want to get to know the real you. And I'm like, oh, the real me? And I called my family over and told them, hey guys, what's up? Listeners, I don't speak to two of my brothers right now.
Two things. One, we're getting to the family. Two, yeah. I thought you were going to say, Margie, I want to know about your life and like what you've done and your history. And you were like, here's my wet cat.
Also legitimate.
Yeah. So, just upsettingly moist.
Do you think, how do you think, I wonder how Tom Hiddleston would react to a wet cat.
Let's get into, again, the pleasure room. So it is literally a room in his house that, he just kind of goes balls to the wall and is like, here, look,
literally
a pleasure room.
Literally or figuratively?
Probably at some point. And it's like, now she is mildly mentally prepared for this. Like, she's like,
okay.
He's like,
I didn't even think that she was mildly prepared.
Not a lot. There's not a lot of mental prep. But like, yeah. She doesn't run screaming from the room initially. So that's props to her. Yeah. She walks in and it is, I mean, it's. It has a bunch of kinky shit in it, which,
yeah,
fine. It's like a black room covered in red leather, which is what I take issue with. Leather's fine. Leather can be very nice, and sometimes it can be easy to clean, but with that much fluid? I didn't know if you know, but skin is porous. Do you know leather was skin? Do you know what can't be bleached?
So, leather. So who do you think cleans that room?
There is
a
lady.
It's not him.
No, there is a lady.
Oh, there's an established lady.
Yes, she is blonde and a bombshell, like apparently every woman in his life.
So that's the driver and the lady.
Oh.
Who I need to write the fanfic about.
Margie.
But that means I have to read 50 Shades of Grey like 10,000 times. Yeah, I know.
What do you mean? I'm giving you a flawless summary. So, So she walks out of there. And they go to his office to discuss, and he's like, gives her the rundown of what he does. He is a dom.
Why did he start fine. In the office? Start in the office, explain, this is what I, if you're going to do it this way, start in the office, baby her into it, and then show her the creepy ass room if she's into it.
I don't think they started at his office, but I don't remember. And again, I'm not going to look it up. But I know they end in the office, and he kind of starts going over his contract with her and explaining what he is into. So Mr. Christian Grey is into kinky sex, specifically the BDSM scenario. So I will say, my initial thought for this episode is that I wanted to go onto Reddit. I wanted to go to the BDSM community, and I wanted to ask a question. And I wanted to say, hey, for anyone who's read this book, what do you think about the representation of the BDSM community in this book? However, after reading rules on the subreddit and wanting to make sure I was respecting everybody, I didn't post on that. Just because I don't want to seem like I'm like, oh, you're a sideshow, you're different. No, God, no,
right,
God, no.
Right.
I just don't have experience with it.
Right.
Not for lack of interest, but just don't have experience in it. However,
and also, it feels like a question that's probably already been asked to the BDSM. Really?
It hadn't been. Now, they did have some rules that were like, you know, no academic research questions, no, like, respecting nothing that's said here can be said anywhere else. Like, and again, I wanted to respect that. So I didn't say that. So I did do that. well, was going to do that. I ended up not, out of respect for the community. That said, if you are part of that community, I would absolutely love to hear your thoughts on this. And I'm going to, I did some research. We'll probably go into that a lot more in Under the Covers. I did also, and this links back into at the beginning where I mentioned all the bonus content, there's going to be an interview up on Patreon, but open to everybody, so you don't have to be a patron to see it. That is me talking to a very good friend of mine who is a, she's a therapist. She is a PhD candidate in psychology. And she specifically has done just a whole bunch of research on sexual abuse and deviant sexual activity, as well as like how it gets into fetish culture and BDSM and all this stuff. It's awesome. That is an interview that is happening. So throwing that out there now before we get into this. The contract.
Okay.
So he basically ends our contract and is like, I'm a dom. I want you to be my sub. It's going to be for 3 months. And this is laying out the rules. And she's headlightsing it.
I remember this.
And pour more wine, pour more wine.
I have only had like a half a glass. I'm just pouring.
That's fine. And I will say, she's not like opposed to this. Like, they've had some steamy moments up to this point. They had like a kissy bit in an elevator. Like, they, you know, like, she's not.
Doesn't he like say screw the contract in the elevator or something like that?
Yes, he does.
Because he's very like, we can't do anything until you've read the contract.
Right, sure. And she's like, she is, I think it's shock at this point, and also a fear of saying something that is going to make him upset or angry or like.
That seems healthy.
Oh, doesn't it?
Seems so, Margie, good to be afraid of your potential sexual partner.
I thought that all BDSM was about actually subjugating people instead of actually communicating amongst each other and doing something that both of you are comfortable with and is going to be good for both of you.
Yeah.
End sarcasm. So she doesn't freak out, but she at one point is like reading this contract or like looking over some of the stuff and like panic, and he can see she's panicking, and he's like, just like say something, and she's like, I don't. What if I don't have as much experience as these other people? And he's like, well, like, I know you probably haven't done BDSM. She's like, no, I haven't done anything. Wait, you're a virgin? Yeah.
I mean, it's really brave of her to, like, seeing the pleasure room, he's been sitting in his office, he's handing you a contract all about sex, and then not to just run, like,
head for the fucking hill. Yeah. Brave. Now, to be fair, he flew her there in a helicopter. But
yeah, we already went over the fucking helicopter. However, and how it would.
He also says, you can leave at any point. I have a driver ready to take you. Again, flew her there in a helicopter. Not exactly the safest reassurance.
Right. It's just, I think it's also that feeling. It's
intimidating.
It's very intimidating. You're not it would make say you anything. Feel trapped. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that, spoilies, is the biggest thing with this whole BDSM situation.
Yep.
So he's like, well, screw it. Screw the contract. We got to fix this right now. We're going to have vanilla sex, which he has never had before.
Okay.
How do you? He's never had vanilla sex before.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, that kind of makes me a little. What was his first sexual experience?
He was 14, and a woman in her 50s introduced him to BDSM. Hello, pedophilia and statutory rape.
It's really sad.
Yes.
Like, he's never, like, been gently introduced to sex.
No, it is not. And like I said, his main personality trait is being broken, and he's definitely broken. Do I think
wake
that
me
his
up inside,
actions,
can't wake up.
Do I think that his actions, it is a reason, it's not an excuse, and I think that it, again, everyone copes with things differently. I fully understand that. It's a little over the top.
Well, so, and I'm, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, though, for Christian Grey, which is, so far, in my mind, his only, like, red flag is the stalking. I'm not going to say that's not a big thing, because it is a very big thing, but he has been transparent about the whole, like, contract, and I'm really into this stuff.
He hasn't tried to hide it.
The stalking thing, not okay, but
let's keep going, shall
we? Yeah, let's keep going, please.
And I would also like to put on the list of red flags is isolating her.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep, yep.
So they have vanilla sex. And I will say, and this is not in any way a dig at authors who are coming from a fan fiction background, because, again, we've interviewed one who was fantastic. They're great.
Yeah, right.
They can be fantastic. The sex in the book was not bad at all.
Yay!
Sex was, I didn't mind it. Like, it was just, it was, as far as BDSM goes, it was vanilla BDSM. It wasn't anything crazy.
Did you enjoy reading it?
I did. And okay, well, there however, you go. As far as quality of prose, you can tell a difference between not sex and sex.
She,
a lot.
Yeah, she, well, that's the thing.
It's not her good writing.
Prose was not good.
You can get away with a lot of shit in a book if your writing is good. And we haven't
even gotten to the bit that Anastasia uses a fucking typewriter and she's an English student.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. She never uses a typewriter in the book.
She doesn't?
No, not yet. She might in the other books.
I could swear
she doesn't have a computer.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, so they have vanilla sex and it's fine. The sex is fine. We'll get into that in Under the Covers. A lot. They have sex a lot. It sounds really painful for a virgin, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
In the morning, they have what I've termed ripcord sex.
What?
Yeah. So he starts her off with some sex toys the next morning, essentially. So they have allotted most of the weekend for this. So they have sex like 3 times that night. I stopped counting, I'll be honest. I tried to keep track. And then in the morning,
did she enjoy it?
Yes. Oh, God. They both loved it.
And did he make sure she came?
Yes. 3 times.
Okay.
So great sex in the morning. She wakes up, makes breakfast, and then they have a bath together and sex again. And then, by sex, like, I'm being a little bit blanket statement-y. Like, we're going orgasms, penetration, and oral all kind of blanket in there.
All intertwined with one another.
Right. And then they have sex again, and he introduces sex toys for the first time and the tie, the thing.
Yeah.
The, like, no, tie, you gotta like, describe actual it. Tie. The oh. actual silver tie.
Oh!
Yeah. And then the sex toy, which is, like, it's kind of like, it's beads. I mean, it's beads. And so he, like, puts all the beads in her, and at the end, rips it out. Now, I'm not, that's something I personally haven't done. Again, not for lack of, like, sure, I'd try it, but, like, I don't think you're supposed to fucking Beyblade your partner across the bed. Well, no, let it rip in this situation.
Well, it's all, oh God, no, no. He literally, you remember that? He like rips them all out.
Yeah, I highlighted
it. Wait, and is it up her butt or up
her? No, vagina.
Okay, her vagina.
They haven't done butt stuff yet.
Okay.
No, yeah, mm-hmm. So there's
that. I mean,
that.
It would be then, really early for butt stuff.
It
but,
would be. Yeah. And then his mom is there.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Yeah.
And so she has to like throw on clothes and come out and be like, hi. And his mom is just so happy that he's with a woman.
Because it's terrible to be gay.
It's the worst, Margie, to be gay.
The worst when your son is gay.
Yay.
How dare.
Yeah. So he sends her home with the contract and is like, read it over. Do some research. She's like, I don't have a laptop. I use my roommates, which, how?
How? And
he's
why?
Like, okay, I'll buy you a laptop, which he does. And
you know what? Just sugar daddy this bitch.
I'm not even going to get into them explaining the laptop as someone who formerly worked in IT. Just not. We're not even going
to touch
it. No,
wait, no, you have to now. Rachel, you
there
do.
Was so many 2011 buzzwords were thrown out about this fucking MacBook.
Like what?
It'll work
like what?
Everywhere. Doesn't matter. You have N wireless, which is not what that means. It does not mean you can walk into the fucking middle of nowhere and you have an internet signal. All right, bitch? No.
But
sorry.
Rachel. Sorry. Rachel. Money.
Oh, I forgot about
money.
That.
Money.
All right. So, money. He gives her a laptop. Money. She researches a whole bunch of BDSM and is understandably like
concerned.
Yeah, like he gave her no guidance. Just, I don't know, look up what it means to be a submissive. Okay,
I
that's going to end
that
well for someone with no sex experience.
Right, well, 2011 Google, though, was it was, you could find good information on there. Like, there's going to be a lot of bad shit on there, but
you still can, but you still give someone who just had sex yesterday for the first time a laptop and said, research what BDSM is. That's going to give you a really good idea of what the community's about.
Yeah. Also, why not some, why don't you offer her some reading materials? Like,
Right. And also at this point, I'd like to mention, I had a moment where I stopped reading, just stopped, sat there, contemplated my life choices and was like, yep, I'm reading two pages of what is ostensibly a legal contract. It doesn't describe her reading the legal contract. It is actually two chapters of the book.
Okay, okay, okay. But talk just about saying. It. Talk about it.
So basically what he's saying is for 3 months, you come over every weekend. As long as you are in my house, you have to make sure you are eating from the approved food list. You are getting at least 8 hours of sleep. You're only wearing what I am telling you to wear. You will call me sir. You will not look me in the eyes unless I tell you to.
Wait, ever? Ever at all?
And whatever he's, they're like the weekends, essentially.
When they're, no, but when
they're together.
When they're, okay, but like, what if she comes out and she's like making a sandwich in the kitchen? Could she not look him in the eye?
No, unless he says she can.
Now,
to be fair, again, this is all fair. A to be fair thing. In a normal open communication BDSM style thing where there is a contract involved, if both parties are 100% cool with that, and that is the level of like an intensity that they want to do. And he also has a lot of stuff in there about like, okay, here are the two safe words. Here is, we can, this is open to interpretation. These are the no things that we absolutely will not do. We can adjust this to what you're comfortable with. It is, emphasizes like, this is just to like set boundaries and get people in the mindset. This is like,
so what kind of legal document is it though? Like, it's, I know, not. It calls a contract.
It is a contract. It is not legally enforceable.
Okay. So it is written like, cause that's contract. What I was wondering. Can he go, does he have this contract so that if she decides like, I'm going to go to the press and talk about all the creepy shit that you're doing.
Oh, I did forget to mention he made her sign an NDA.
Damn it. I knew there was an NDA. I knew it. Listener, there is that's a non-disclosure agreement.
Literally, okay. Like when she walked into his apartment. Sorry, you have to sign this NDA. My lawyer said I had to.
That poor lawyer.
Yeah. Like, so, so he's getting paid.
Does the lawyer see the pleasure room?
Probably.
Oh.
Again, nothing wrong with the pleasure room. Just the situation's a little not great.
I'm just imagining like being forced to learn all of my bosses or my clients' sexual kinks.
Yeah, but like if that's your job and that's your thing, hey, go for it. I will say.
No lawyer goes to law school dreaming of doing that.
No, but they probably get paid out the ass.
Yes. Rachel, money.
Money. Always money.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, again, this is where, and we will go into this a lot more in-depth than Under the Covers. This is going to be a big Under the Covers, y'all.
You are taking this from a completely different perspective of, like, fans and people who have read it. Because, like, for fans and people who have read it, the elevator scene is super important. The, like, conversation before the pleasure room is super important scene. And the books are very important, and you did cover the books, but I'm just like, it's interesting like listening to you talk about it, because it's like such a different perspective, because you are so like in the dark.
Well, and I hope that if this is your favorite book, I'm sorry, you probably should have expected this coming into the podcast, but
I've thought about it in the past. I think there is one friend that I've genuinely lost because I took one of her books that she really really liked and we bashed it.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's, we can all like shitty things and have fun with it, and that's what we're doing. But the thing that we do is talk about why it's not okay. And I think that the reason I'm taking such a different perspective on this is because I went into it, one, as a contrarian little shit, which is who I am as a human. But two, as we've done so many of these books, it's what I have my eyes, like what I'm looking for. So I'm looking for shit like, okay, what is he doing to her? How is this not okay? And that's kind of what I was focusing on, which, like, there are a lot of important, like, conversations, I guess, and stuff that happen, but, like, it didn't feel that important to me. Okay. So I think that's why I'm taking it from such a different perspective, is because, like, I'm kind of coming into it as, like, again, I fully admit I'm a contrarian little shit, so I'm not gonna like it probably. And if I did, I'd tell you, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna pick out all the shit that is bad
there's another. There's a presence. Yes.
They meet up and go to dinner and they discuss the contract in more detail. And I'm proud of her because she shows up, she drives there herself. She like goes in like a fucking power dress to okay, we're going to have a serious talk about this, because like after doing the research and emailing with him, which their emails are actually very cute, I will say.
I remember their emails, and I did not hate them.
The emails were good. And they were adorable, actually.
Aww.
It was such a weird dichotomy.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not opposed to all of these things. I don't think I'm a submissive, but I don't know because I've never tried it. So I'm going to like try all of these things and like we can have a discussion about it. And they
Good for her, being transparent.
Exactly. Like she's really trying. And he has been this entire time emphasizing how important communication is and all this stuff. And like, you have to, like, we can do this. We'll take it slow, like all this stuff. But like, you have to be open with me and really tell me when you're uncomfortable with something or, you know, anything like that. And so like props, that's good in theory, if that were actually what he was saying. But she like, it's overwhelming for her, right? So like she leaves and he sees her car for the first time and how shitty of a car it is and freaks out about that, and she thinks he's mad, he's like mad at her and everything, and ooh. She goes home and she cries and he comes over and they have sex.
Yeah,
as you do. And by the way,
why did she think he was mad at him again?
She thought that he was mad at her because she wasn't going along with everything in the contract and also the car.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting all of this so wrong. And I think it's because I read it and got very different things from the book than other people did. And I hope I'm not. I really do. I'm so worried about this now.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Anyway, they come over. He comes over. They have sex. And we have a she-thing, people. In my notes.
Why did I even do...
Right? Wait. No, I'm so sorry. She doesn't cry. You know what she does? She emails him, joking, saying, I've seen enough. I'm out. And he comes over. That's what it is. He comes over.
Why don't you just make...
To have that after, okay. At dinner, she was like, no, I'm not going to go with you to your hotel room and everything because I need time and space to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to make a decision. And so she does that joking, which they have known each other for a week. That is probably not a great joke to make. And he physically comes to her house and they have sex. You know, space.
How does he... does he say, like, what do they talk about before they have sex?
It is along the general gist of it is, oh, really? You're gonna say no to this?
Is this the ice cube sex?
Yes.
Okay. I remember the ice cube sex.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, we have a she thing there. So,
yep.
Let's jump forward to the next week, because I should mention it's been a week in the book.
Yeah.
Week two, graduation. She's graduating.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
So her stepdad comes in. So I should mention, I didn't really mention it before. Anna's parents are split. Her mom has been remarried like 4 times. But her second stepdad is the one that's like her dad. That's who she thinks of as her dad, and she loves him.
Aww.
So her stepdad comes and, they like go to graduation. Surprise, Christian is speaking at graduation. She's been ignoring him because, again, she needs some fucking space, and he's not happy about that.
So what has he been doing? What does that mean, he's not happy about it?
Literally, as she is, like, getting her diploma, he's like, why have you been ignoring me?
We'll talk about this later. While she's getting her diploma? Rachel, you need to just say these things.
Things in my brain... I don't remember so much of this book.
That's so important. And
is it?
Yes, it's creepy as fuck. That is like harassment as she's leaving school.
I am double checking this because I'm really afraid.
I don't, Rachel, I've not read this book in over 5 years. So you, like, you are right. I'm saying that it's horrifying that it happened.
I want to make sure that it happened.
Rachel, you didn't forget. You're doing great.
I don't know.
You've never, you haven't said anything wrong.
I hope I haven't.
You haven't. How old is Christian?
Mid-20s, upper, mid, like 26-ish.
Hey, Rachel, you know that she has written this book in the perspective of Christian, right?
I do know that.
You do know you're going to read it, right?
Yeah. All right. You know what? Fuck it. If this is your favorite book, I'm so sorry. I cannot find the actual order in which these things happen because it doesn't matter.
Okay, what happens after graduation?
So she meets up, like they're meeting up outside of graduation with people, and Kate spills the beans to her stepdad about her and Christian, her boyfriend and girlfriend, which it has been, again, a week.
Yeah, and it's not true.
No, it's not. And so she goes back to her house and, like, they go out to dinner with her dad or whatever, and they goes back to their house and there's a fucking car there, and he's like, look, it's your graduation gift.
Who gave her the Christian gave her the
Christian
car?
Christian bought her a car because he didn't like her other one. And he also brings over champagne and they can talk about
sex,
the contract some more. And this
isn't cornering at all.
No. And he gets her drunk. Because he says it's going to make her more...
Yeah, I hate him. So, like, I hate him.
It's going to make her more brave while they're discussing the contract. And then...
It's like, it's a little bit of, like, creepy Phantom of the Opera, yes, come into my deep, dark lair kind of vibes, you know?
A little bit. Now, this is where...
Music of the Night... No, not music of... The Phantom of the Opera is there inside your mind kind of shit. Yeah.
So this is where, and I will full disclosure, I got these two sex scenes mixed up because they're so similar, and I don't know which one happened when. They happen at her house. He comes over at some point.
Yeah.
One was before graduation, one was after. He spanks her for the first time.
I literally thought he comes over at some point. I thought you were going to end that sentence with buck naked, and I have no idea why.
No, but he does spank her in a punishing way with the intent to hurt her because he needs this.
What is he punishing her for?
Rolling her eyes at him. She has not agreed to anything. She has not signed a contract, and there is not open communication. She specifically says she does not want to do this. So, spanks her. He left. He's like, are you okay? He tries to take care of her afterwards. She's like, I'm fine. And then, guess what? She's not.
Aftercare doesn't really work if it wasn't consensual anyway.
Yeah, so this is where a lot of the BDSM research that I did and a lot of the people who are in the BDSM community have mentioned. BDSM is fine. BDSM is cool. It helps people cope with previous abuses. It helps with all of these things that is really good. And it's a really open and accepting community.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's communication, you don't corner your partner. The partner isn't brand new and you are immediately bringing them into things that they specifically say they don't want to do. And you make them so intimidated and uncomfortable that they're not going to tell you exactly what they are feeling.
Right. Yes.
That's the problem.
Yes. So, and also, take care of your partner.
Yeah. So. Love. So this is where the spanking happens. And she cries that night. Like, she bursts into tears. Mm. And he finds out that she's crying and comes over again. And Kate, good on Kate, goes fucking mama bear on him and is like, what is wrong with you? Since she's been with you, she has been so up and down with, like, her emotions. You need to get the fuck out. And she's like, no.
Love Kate. Good for Kate.
Yeah. And she's like, no. He can come in. It's fine. And she has been, like, up and down crying and everything. And Kate's like, eyes on him.
Leaving the door open. You're not, like... If she needs me, I'm there.
No, it doesn't go that far. Oh, she's not that good of a friend. But she starts. She tries.
Well, that's what you would do, Rachel.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I would have had a shotgun.
Get off my damn lawn!
So they have this conversation of, like, I never would have left you if I'd known. You have to be open with me and all this stuff.
Oh, excuse me. It's her fault when she didn't want to do it anyway? Excuse you.
Are you getting new insights into this book, Margie?
I feel spicy.
Good. And it's fine. They're fine with it now. Everything's cool.
No, it's not!
Manipulated back into his arms. It's been now 2 weeks. Let's get in 1.5. We're getting into the end of the second week and then finally the third week. And then we're done.
I'm really proud of you for keeping track of time.
3 weeks. It was 3 weeks. Kay. It was pre-finals, finals, and then she goes to Georgia. 3 weeks. So she is going to meet his parents the next weekend because he wants her to meet his parents, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes over. They have the first sex in the pleasure room. The pleasure room sex. Which again, like, none of the BDSM in this is actually like kinky, like that kinky. It's relatively vanilla, actually. It's just he.
Oh, Rachel.
Puts a blindfold on her. I did research.
That into it was that much. You consider that even vanilla.
Margie, how sexually aroused are you by jeans? Because jeans play a part in this.
I mean,
specifically ripped, faded jeans.
Is he wearing them with the boots with the fur?
I
was the whole club looking at him.
Really hope so.
Did he hit the floor?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
the jeans didn't. He kept them on during sex. But yeah, so it's fine. He leaves the room and comes back. I should also mention, and this is something that is important, she is not allowed to touch his chest at any point. And hasn't been this entire time. So you know all that stuff about.
I remember that.
You know all that stuff about communication and like all that?
Yeah. Goes out the window
for him.
She's
the only one that needs to have that.
Right.
Yeah. So they have kinky sex.
Yeah.
Kinky, quote unquote. Dom jeans are a thing. And she's exhausted afterwards, which, by the way, part of that contract was needing a personal trainer, and I can see why now.
What? Wait, is that for her stamina or because he wants to keep her at a specific size?
Stamina, but I would also like to couple that with she's only allowed to eat certain foods. Which is something that she negotiates. She's like, no.
Yeah.
She doesn't eat, like, at all.
Yeah.
I don't know how she survives. She does not eat a lot. So she goes and meets his parents, and everyone loves her. And actually, also, his Christian's brother and Kate are there, too. So it's like, because they've been together this whole time.
Aww.
As well. So they go, the parents...
Are my couple together? The cleaning lady and the driver?
No, we don't really see much of them. But it is a, honestly, delightful family. Wonderful family. And she goes and meets them not wearing underwear, which I don't wear underwear a lot because underwear is a leg prison, but this is really a butt prison. Yeah. This is really outside of her comfort zone, which sure.
Fine. It depends on what I would be wearing in the outfit, but
she's wearing a sheath dress. So the reason that she is sans underwear is because he kept them in his pocket of the Dom jeans and decided to keep them so that she would have to ask him for her underwear before they go to meet his parents. And she's like, oh, hell no. I'm going to turn this around on him. And then she gets uncomfortable about it.
He's probably uncomfortable, too.
No, he thinks it's hysterical.
I hate that.
So he tries groping her under the table at family dinner and she says no. And that makes him crazy, apparently. So they go have sex in the boathouse.
He's the kind of type who, would be going after... If his family had, step-siblings, he'd be going after his step-siblings. I don't...
They're all adopted.
Margie, the
kids are adopted.
Right, it's Twilight. But do you... You don't... Well, no, you... I'm having such conflicting feelings, Margie, about the groping under the table during family dinner.
Right? I was proud of myself for saying that deadpan.
Because I don't know how I would react to it. Anyway, continue.
So, they go have sex in the boathouse because she's made him crazy about that. And in the course of conversation with the family, first off, I appreciate the dig against anti-vaxxers. There was a dig against anti-vaxxers in the family dinner. I wanted to mention that.
Dr. Sydney would be so proud.
Right? But she mentions that she is thinking about going to Georgia to visit her family. He is upset. He holds it together while they're with the family, but he is upset.
How long have they been together at this point?
2 weeks.
And he told her to meet his family?
She met his mom literally the day after she had sex with him for the first time.
Yeah, I know, but still, meeting the whole family, that's...
The family. So they've been together. So it was the week leading up to finals, finals week, and then that graduation was that weekend. So well, this and is that next week. So this is midweek three.
Okay.
And they hadn't, like, had coffee until, like, most of the way through week one.
Good.
Right? So, yeah. So she met his parents. But it's okay because he's not gay.
Can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Hit me.
I am a sucker for a whirlwind romance.
Whirlwind romances are fine when they're based on mutual, like, you know, interests and communication and conversation and not hitting people to hurt them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
yeah.
should mention, though, that the only conversation they've had about mutual interests is one, how much they like sex, and two, that she wants to go to England.
And books.
She likes books. It is established that he reads. Oh, and they like music.
Oh, okay.
Eclectic music.
Well, I mean,
music.
Of course, it's a Twilight fan fiction. So.
Oh, don't worry. All of the erudite concertos, etc., that are playing in the background are spelled out. You can go listen to the soundtrack if you want to.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
So, more sex. And so much sex. And he tells her that his mom was a crack whore. So props to him for some communication.
His biological mother.
Yes, his biological mom was a crack whore. Basically, they have sex, and then she's like, I want to know more about you. And he's like, how about we have sex again? And then if you're still awake, I'll tell you. And then she is. So he tells her that his mom was a crack whore.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah. So he was adopted. His mom died when he was like four, I think. So he was adopted into the nice, pretty, perfect family after that. So there's that little bit of backstory. She also, in this book, makes a really solid attempt at making toothbrushes sexy. And longtime listeners will know I have a list of things that can never be done sexily. Brushing your teeth is one of them. It didn't work. So, you know, list still stands. So she is, at this point, I should mention, she has moved with Kate to Seattle. So Kate's family is loaded. Kate's dad bought an apartment in Seattle. They moved there, and she is in the process of interviewing for internships at publishing houses, right?
Must be nice.
Right? Just happens.
Oh, just rich people things.
Just rich people things. So she does have an interview, and I have not read the second book, but I would like to go ahead and call out that this is going to be LT number four. How many sides do triangles have, Margie?
Oh, I feel geometry.
Margie, how many holes? How many holes do you have? How many holes do you have?
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Margie, how many holes do you have?
One, two, three.
How many sex holes?
Depends on what you call a sex hole. There are three sides. There are three sides to a triangle.
So we're on LT4. Again, yes. This is my assumption that that's where that's going to go with the interview with the creepy dude. All of the dudes that aren't Christian are creepy, apparently.
Well, Christian is creepy.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Yeah.
All
Rachel,
the other dudes are less creepy.
Yeah.
So she goes to Georgia to hang out with her mom. Mm-hmm. And I wanted established that throughout the entirety of this, she is telling him, I need some space. We are going really fast. He has told her he's going to try as far as like, we can go out maybe during the week. And like, because he wants to try with her instead of just being in this strictly sexual relationship.
What do you mean? Try.
Emotionally. He wants to try to get to know her. He never specifically says, like, I like you and I want to try to, like, have a relationship with you. It is always just, like, I'm going to try and then nothing else. And it is implied. So.
Yeah, he's really into that communication, isn't he?
It's so important to him. So she has told him throughout this entire time, like, hey, like, I want to go. It's getting very intense. I think I'm getting really attached and I want some space to go.
Wow, look at that maturity.
Weird. So she goes to get on the plane and has been upgraded to first class. She did tell him that she did not want to take his private jet. So upgraded to first class.
I would have taken the jet.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. Again, not into that isolation.
Yeah, and true. Also, it's like the helicopter now that I think about it.
Yeah, you don't want to be. And also, like, I would feel so. There's so much manipulation, and I don't know if it's intentional on his part of, like, I'm going to buy you this car. Here, have this laptop. Here, have all this shit. Like, in addition to all the other stuff, it's a lot.
Well, it's like he's trying to buy her submissiveness, and I don't even mean in, like, the bedroom. Absolutely. I mean in general. Like, he's like, I can make your life so much easier if you
because
just,
I have money.
Wait, just fear me, love me, do as I say, and I will be your slave.
Other way around, though. And you will be my slave.
Yeah. Well, but I think that he is trying to say, like, I can make your life so much easier.
Right. And she's not comfortable with any of these. Yeah. Like, she tries not to accept it. Right. But it's Christian. And I will say, this is only the first book. I am aware that this was originally one whole thing split into three. And I am going to do a benefit of the doubt and hope for some character growth. I am, however, going to call out everything that's wrong in this first instance. Yay. So, she admits via stream of consciousness email after the middle of her red eye, because she's very tired, that she does have feelings for him.
Baby.
Yeah. And she goes and sees her mom. She bursts into tears when she sees her mom, and her mom's like, who hurt you? Who is the boy? Mom just knows. And like, Mama Bear. Her mom, right, like, actually gives her some really good advice about, like, you just need to talk. Like,
yeah.
It's if he really he's told you all of those things, great. That's way better than normal. Usually you can't get anything out of dudes. Like, mm-hmm. So just talk to him. And so they're having this conversation after several martinis. I think it's martinis or gin and tonics or something.
It's Cosmopolitans.
Yes, there it is. Thank you.
I'll know that because of the movie. God, I hate that.
Fine.
How do I remember that detail?
It's fine. I'm glad you did. God knows I'm a hack and a fraud. I'm going to get so called out for this fucking book.
No, you're
it's
not. You're I not. Hated you, are, it. Okay. You are not going to get called out. You are not the first person doing this.
So, Margie. Yeah. Margie. Mm-hmm. Are you done with your wine?
No.
Good. How much do you have left?
Not much. Well, I have a whole nother bottle, but I don't want to.
Do you
want
to go get the bottle? Because this is probably my least favorite part of the entire book.
I still have at least half of a glass, so I'm not going to go get the other bottle.
They're in the middle of having this conversation about how they really just need to talk about it. And Christian literally walks up to their table at the bar because she said she missed him and he flew to Georgia that night. It's the next day.
Okay.
She's been away for him. For 36 hours. She said she missed him. Not please come here. Not hey, like, you know, come over. I miss you. And so he got in his jet and he flew there. And they just happened to be getting drinks at the hotel that he is staying at.
I think it's the... or she is staying at.
No, he is staying at. So, she's staying with her mom.
Well, it's not a coincidence though, right? He knew exactly where she was.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the specificity specifically that creeps me out. I'm just like, okay, even because people will surprise people that they love. But they don't love each other. They've known each other for less than 3 weeks. You shouldn't have known where she was staying. Well, and you shouldn't have known where she currently was.
So it is played off as a coincidence that they happen to be getting drinks at the hotel that he is staying at.
It's not.
I don't think it is. Yeah. And her mother, who is gobsmacked by the attractive rich man that is in front of her, is like, you need to go talk to him. Don't worry about coming home tonight. Go ahead. And leaves. So they go and have sex and have a conversation about how they maybe have feelings for each other and they like each other and stuff without ever actually saying that. And they have sex again.
Wait, so they have sex before and after? I mean, it doesn't really matter. I just was curious.
I think that they are literally in the process of getting ready for sex as they're having the conversation, which... I am personally, like, Zach and I have been together long enough that, yeah, I'll tell him I love him during sex, fine. But, like, when we were first dating, that's not something I wanted, because when you're having sex, emotions are all over the place.
Yes.
I don't want you to tell me you love me during sex. I want you to tell me you love me outside of sex.
Yeah.
Personally. Like, that's kind of my thing. Well, also,
like, it doesn't... It's kind of like telling someone what you think when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what's real and what's fiction and...
Exactly. Like, you never... It's not... People are not exactly in the right headspace for that.
Yes.
For deep emotional conversations during sex. So, you know, there's that. So... They talk it out. They have sex. And in the morning, he makes her... He's like, I want to do something special, like, with you. Again, he flew out from Georgia the day before because she said she missed him. And in the morning, they're going to go gliding, which also, is his
isn't
hobby.
He supposed... Isn't she supposed to be spending time with her mom? Because, you know, that's what she's
she
there
wanted
for.
Space, and that's specifically what she asked for?
Yeah.
Margie, yeah. That's unreasonable.
Oh, excuse me. That's not part of the contract.
So he takes her gliding and they have a really good time and stuff. And then he's like, yeah, I'll come over to dinner later and hang out with you and your mother on this time at this during this time that you wanted to not.
Okay,
be with
so
me.
I absolutely hate that also because he is dictating when he's going to he's going to meet her mom when he basically told her, hey, you're meeting my family.
Like, and she specifically, when she said that she was going to go meet her parents or go see her mom, he was like, I'd really like to go with you. I'd love to meet your mom. And she's like, I don't think I'm ready for that.
Oh, I hate that so much. This poor girl.
Is this worse
He's
than you
He's like
remembered?
Kool-Aiding into her life.
Subtlety of the Kool-Aid man. Subtlety of the trouble. Do you hate it more than you thought than you remember?
I have to
Or is it just because I'm picking up on the shitty parts?
No, I think I hated it back then too, but I think I found it, well, this is going to sound really bad because this is a comedy podcast, but I found it funnier.
Oh yeah, that's fair. I think that's the problem. Well, okay, let me finish the plot. I'll get into that.
Yeah.
So he has to leave, however, before dinner because of a quote unquote situation.
Thank God.
Yeah. And she admits to herself that she loves him.
How long has it been? Less than a month?
3 weeks. Yeah.
So, which I will say this, whirlwind romance girl.
Fair.
Like,
fair. He does not tell her what that situation is.
Oh.
So.
Does it have to do with her?
I have no idea. I don't know what it is still. Don't know. So she goes back, first class again.
Yeah.
And they have the first, what I would, the most kinky sex in this book.
Okay.
So at one point, she had a dream about having him, like, messing around with her with a leather, like, riding crop thing. And she thought it was really hot, and she came in her sleep. Wet dream. Cool.
Mm, yeah, good for her.
So in order for him to let off some steam because of the quote-unquote situation that I still don't know what it is, they go into the pleasure room, and he has purchased a riding crop that matches the one in her dream that
she
told him about.
He didn't already have one?
Not one that was the perfect, like, brown leather. Yeah.
Okay.
And he, basically what they do is they do this, like, sensory deprivation kind of thing where it's, like, she has a blindfold on, she has earphones, like, earbuds
in. Nope, would hate that.
And there's music
playing.
I'm
sorry. I know. I understand the appeal, but I personally would feel very uncomfortable. I'm sorry.
I think I'd enjoy it, actually.
Cool.
I think I'd be into it. But yeah. I will say, they do specify the song. And I looked up the song to listen to it because it is a song that he puts on repeat. It's a 10-minute song. It repeats 3 or 4 times during this sex scene.
Oh my God.
It's a long time. Yeah. So she has actually, like, it's great. She enjoys it. She's still not super into being a submissive, but, like, this experience was cool for her. So she says, okay. I want to make an ultimatum with you because this is apparently like a deal breaker for her in this relationship. She has not been allowed to touch his chest, and that has been kind of a sticker for her. She's like, you can spank punish me as hard as it's going to get, because he keeps saying, like, it's never going to get so bad that it's really going to hurt you. Like, it's like, you know, it only gets so bad or whatever. And you can do that. And if I let you, you have to let me touch your chest. I have to be allowed to touch your chest. That is her ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, they have had very little snippets of conversations about why he needs this spank punishing and the discussions that he's had with his therapist about this spank punishing, and why he needs to This is for his own satisfaction, and it is not intended for the pleasure of his partner. That is spelled out.
Yeah, I hate that.
I am going to refer you to the interview that is over on our Patreon
that anyone
can listen to it. Absolutely anyone can listen to it. It is free. That discusses this in detail. Because, again, I should mention, BDSM can be a very safe and healthy way for people who have suffered abuses express themselves and help them cope with it.
If it's done right, it's like,
yes,
good.
This is just not done right.
Right.
So they do that. He hits her. And it hurts her, and she cries, and she runs, she tells him, you have some shit to deal with, and leaves. And, like, goes and cries in the room. And he, like, tries to, like, bring her, like, some water and Advil and stuff. She's just like, I can't do this anymore.
So let me just, like, clarify. She told him, you can hit me as hard as you want.
Mm-hmm. You can hit me as hard as it's ever going to get, so I know what the worst feeling is going to be.
Okay, and then, then she gets hit, and it's like
too much for her.
It's too much for her. Okay,
yes. And she's like, the thing that gets me with this is I don't think she felt comfortable saying stop at any point, and she is crying out in pain during this.
How many times does he spank her?
It's like 10 times.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And he doesn't stop, no. Even though she's crying. Does she use her safe word?
She doesn't cry during the spanking part. She cries out in pain. She cries almost immediately. Actually, no, she does. She does. I'm sorry. She does. She doesn't use the safe word. But again, I don't think she felt comfortable
using the safe word. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's true.
I was about to talk about how this is such a gray area. And... Well, would you look at that? Aww. Wow, we got there.
She
can't do it, and she's like, we're not going to be able, I can't be what you need, I can't be what you want, I can't do this anymore. And she breaks up with him, and she leaves, and she goes home, and she's crying in her bed, the end.
It does make me want to know what happens in the next book, I will say this.
It doesn't for me. And you want to know why?
Why?
Hang on, hold on, real quick. This is staying in the episode. Margie, we're at the end of this, of the synopsis.
Okay.
You did it! I'm so proud of you!
You did it sober! Wow!
Yes, I did.
It's on ice!
This bottle of wine on ice.
Ooh, what is it?
This bottle of wine on ice has been sitting at the corner of my desk for the entirety of this description. As soon as I was done.
Literally would not have been able to resist. I would have been like, nope.
Oh, no. It's stuck.
No!
No! Got it. It's a very nice Sauvignon Blanc.
Mmm.
And I deserve it.
You do. I'm
pouring my wine now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let me... have a brief, I'm not gonna like take this as long as I was going to originally because we had a lot of really good discussion during the plot synopsis, but here are my thoughts. I would like to give my thoughts.
Yes, please.
Again, apropos of the title, I think that this is indeed a lot of shades of gray. There is a lot of really questionable things. I'm going to reserve judgment overall because I still think there is the possibility of character growth. I think he's had a lot of shit that's happened in his past, and I think there's a chance that he can grow as a human, and it can be a healthy relationship. It's not looking great in the foundation stages. I will tell you that now.
Can't wait for the next installment.
Yeah, so Under the Covers is going to be in-depth because I did some research into BDSM communities and what the actual people in the BDSM community feel about the book. So we will be discussing that and the representation in the book. I would like to say there is, I think, not being part of the BDSM community, too much manipulation and not enough communication and comfort between these two characters in order for that to be what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
She does not feel comfortable telling him how she's feeling, which is what you have to be able to do in BDSM.
Right.
Like, it's necessary.
She's very, and and this isn't a bad thing. She's very naive about it.
Yes.
The whole thing and getting involved with him. And I don't even mean that, though, in a sense of like the BDSM thing. I mean getting involved with someone who's like, who's a who's a billionaire, yeah, who like can pretty much buy whatever he wants and get to wherever you are at a moment's notice. It's not.
I mean, it's intimidating. Great. And it's literally her first relationship.
Yeah.
She has never been with someone before this. And I want to know what the basis for this relationship actually is, besides they like having sex with each other a lot. They had a lot of sex.
But like, you can have a relationship relationship that's just based off of sex. I don't think it's going to be long term, because that's not.
Well, and that's the thing. Personality wise, neither of these characters, in my mind, have a personality that like they have nothing in common.
Right. That's the other thing I was going to ask. Like, we didn't really talk much about who they were.
Because they weren't. I know that he likes to do rich people hobbies.
Yeah.
Like gliding and sailing.
Yeah. I mean.
And he likes kinky sex and he's broken.
I mean, all sounds like really rich people things to have.
Yeah. And she likes books.
Yeah. Well, she's not even rich.
No, she's not. She should
have more of a personality.
If you want to make a book centered around two characters, make the characters characters and not just planks of wood that are being smushed together in various kinky positions. Yeah, just like that. The other thing that I want to touch on in my rant here is we mentioned the prose is not good.
Yeah.
It's not. I actually, within the first two pages, was like, oh, Christ.
What am
I
doing?
Because it's like, I'm not even going to read some of the parts in it where it's like, oh, yeah, you use that word three times in those two sentences. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Or the number times I had to pull out a fucking thesaurus because I'm like, who? Why?
Well, the reason why those words were used, though, is because she self-published or they self-published. I don't know if they're.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. So I actually, it's funny. I was talking with some of my other friends about this book and I was like, this book would have been leaps and bounds better if it just had like one more pass through an editor.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. Right. It just needed an editor. That's all it needed. Yeah.
Well,
it would have been as far as prose goes.
Yeah, prose. Okay.
The other thing, and again, I spoke with our wonderful, beautiful friend Alexa, who read this before it was published, when it was a fan fiction. She's the one that did that. I talked to her about it because I was curious. And I mentioned that it ended on a cliffhanger. She's like, I know exactly which cliffhanger it ends on. Even though I haven't read it when it was split up. And one, I can tell. You can tell that it is. Because it feels like it should be the end of a chapter.
Right.
Not the end of a book.
Yes.
That's what it feels like.
Yes.
Also, and this is totally on me, pet peeve. Cliffhangers in books and book series can be done well.
Yes.
They absolutely can.
Yes.
However, it is rare. And I think most of the time, it is cheap. A cliffhanger in a book like that says that the rest of my book wasn't good enough to get you to want to read the next one. So I'm going to throw this in there as insurance. And I don't like that.
Well, it's like, I mean, they do that at the movies all the time, though. They're like, come and see the sequel.
And I don't like watching movies either.
I'm really curious, though, in the fan fiction. Oh, God, I'm so curious about that fan fiction. If anyone still has it for whatever reason, please send it to our email because I want to read it. I'm so curious.
Bookmarked a couple things. Like, there's literally a point in the book where he says, but Anastasia, it's all about trust. Basically, all this what this boils down to is, do you trust me?
I've known you for 3 weeks and I've been on this earth for 22 years. So
creepy.
Yeah. Right.
So it's stuff like that.
That sounds like gaslighting.
It is very much very much gaslighting. Yeah. So it's quite simple, Anastasia. Do you trust me or not?
No.
She specifically talks about his mercurial mood swings and how hard it is to keep up with them. He likes to talk about how beautiful her skin is, which is a little creepy.
Gross.
Let's see. He does make a divorce beheaded died reference. And I was like, this is before Six. Go watch Six.
Six is so good.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
I think we're both just kind of like reeling right now.
I feel bad a little bit because, again, I know I focused on what makes this problematic mm-hmm. as I was reading it, because I don't like that style of book, and that type of anti-hero is not something I enjoy.
This might be a perfect segue then. Rachel, how would you rate Christian Grey's character?
So this is interesting because I've only read the first one.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out for a hero, and by that I mean character growth.
But you should be able to, even if it's just one book, it should be, the character should be well encapsulated enough that you can make an assessment and judgment of them, honestly.
I am going to give him a 1.5/2.
Wow. Because
let me justify my existence for a moment.
Okay.
There is a lot of trauma in his background.
Yeah.
He is not a well-adjusted human.
Yes.
Especially for how much money he's spent on therapy. And I get it. It takes time to find the right therapist.
Right.
But for a man who is supposedly seeing two therapists and has been for years, and again, he's had some fucked up childhood like stuff. Like, he started having sex with a 50-year-old lady. The intro to BDSM, it's the only sex he's ever had when he was 14. He is still close friends with this woman.
Yeah. It's good. It's fine, Rachel. It's fine. Yeah.
The reason I'm giving him such a low score is because there is no personality outside of I'm broken, I hurt people to cope, and I am intimidating. Like, and domineering.
Domineering is a very good word.
Yeah. And, like, he's so... I mean, broken. He's too broken, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think... Now, there is never anything wrong with having a intensely broken character and going through how they develop as a human. There is nothing that has happened that has made me want to... has made me care about him wanting to grow.
Right.
I don't care if he grows because I have no interest in him.
Right. Yeah. Because there's nothing to go off of. Like, there's nothing to root for, almost.
I can't relate to him in any way.
Right.
I'm not rich. I don't like sailing and gliding. I'm not... I like sailing. I've never done it.
The story's defense... Well, not even in its defense. I don't think that you're meant to empathize with him. I think that you're meant to, like, lust after him.
See, and it's not... Now, to be fair, different strokes, different folks. I'm not going to lust after someone that I can't in some way, there's
empathize.
Some human connection with, right?
Right.
Like, there is literally not, it would be like, and this is going to be an awful pull because he's not an attractive man, but one of Trump's sons, can you relate to that in any way?
No.
He's a powerful businessman.
No.
He likes rich people things. He's probably into kinky sex.
Does he have...
So there's the difference. It's all of those things, but he's not attractive.
Right.
So why is it okay for this man who is all of those things and attract? Granted, probably not as corrupt, but okay.
Well, he's rich.
Yeah, and he made his own money.
Right.
So flip the script. If he was ugly, would this be okay?
No. Oh, he would have been arrested so long ago.
Exactly. And I think that's the core of what is wrong with this.
Right.
Is that, like, the only reason we let him get away with this shit is because he's attractive.
Well said, Rachel. Well said.
That's not okay.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah. So that is why he gets, like, a 1.5. Like, I'm not here for that shit. Like, no. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
She is a bundle of cardboard anxiety, but she had relatable moments. I'm gonna give her like a 2, 2.5.
Okay.
She definitely had the, like, the inner goddess. I was like, it wasn't as weird as I expected it to be. I thought the inner goddess was going to literally talk to me and not just be like a little anthropomorphized Maui kind of situation.
Aww, that would have been better.
That's essentially what it was.
Aww.
But there was definitely some moments where it was like, okay, I can relate to this. And then, so, like, I had a little bit of that emotional connection. There were other moments where it was, I could see if you flip it on its head and take this as this woman is being abused, and that is the way you approach it versus this is romance, then it is a very interesting look at how someone who does have very low self-esteem could react in that situation,
mm-hmm.
or would react in that situation.
Right.
So I would say it's 2.5, I think, because you could take it either way.
Right.
I think that if you took it strictly as this is this woman reacting to an abusive situation, it could be a very good character because it's very relatable and it gives you that insight. But if you take it in the romance section, it's like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so, that's what it's taken as. It's taken as a romance. So.
Well, and there's so much emphasis on her not thinking she's attractive and like, I'm not attractive and I'm not attractive and all this stuff. And he's just on this pedestal and it's like, okay, what if you weren't attractive? I still empathize with you as a character.
Right.
This man, however, not so much.
Not so.
The sex wasn't bad. Sex was fine. I was into it, actually, in some instances.
Good.
I'd give that probably a 3.5.
All right. Well.
Plot. What plot? Was stalking the plot? I think stalking was the plot.
It's hard to say what the, I mean, the plot was based off of their relationship. It wasn't, it wasn't about any external outside force that was opposing them or opposing even one of them. It was just their relationship.
Well, I think that, again, this is one part of three. It was originally one part of one entire novel. I think that if we saw enough growth, I would have given it a plot,
mm-hmm.
but because there, it's only one, I think this book would have benefited from being one book. I really do.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think it would have benefited a lot more because you wouldn't have had that like really tenuous foundation. I mean, you still would have had a tenuous foundation, but it wouldn't have been a standalone thing. It would have, you know, there would have been growth.
Right.
So hopefully, again, haven't read it.
We have not read it yet, Rachel.
No. Yet. God, I signed up for this. So I'm going to give it a 2 because benefit of the doubt. Overall, I'm going to give this a 3.
Better than I would have supposed out of
3
10.
3 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yes. 3 out of 10. Out of 10.
Would've...
Do you ever just make an insight that you're really proud of and you're just like, yeah, that is sums up everything I've been feeling for the past 2 hours. That's what that, if Christian Grey was not an attractive man, he wouldn't be able to get away with any of this shit. That's what that was to me.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that, and it's so fucking true.
It is 1001% true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because that is a huge problem in society in general, is that people can get us away with so much shit as long as they're pretty while they do it.
Yep. And like, rich. Don't forget about money.
Yeah, pretty.
That was fucking amazing. Amazing. Iconic.
Oh, good. Yeah, so that's, if I broke your favorite book, I'm sorry, but I'm also not.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what you're kind of here for.
I am. And to be fair, if it's your favorite book or that you love it, sorry, even if it's not your favorite book, and even after all of that, you love that book, fine.
Well,
totally fine.
And also, I want to, not defend the book necessarily, but defend people who like it because, listeners, I have messaged Rachel so often about, like, I need a Dacus McKelter to come into my life and kidnap me to Scotland and take me back in time. So,
and that's what I'm saying. There's no problem with liking this book. There's never a problem with liking a romance novel because, like, everyone's into different shit.
Yep.
Like, I could be a sub. I really think I could, actually. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
I've read some books that are really fucking weird, but I loved them, and that's fine.
Yep.
And I think the thing is, you can like something and also acknowledge the problems with it and still like it.
Yeah, me and Rachel joke actually all the time about Jane Eyre. We're like, we both love it, but we're like,
problematic
this
as
is
shit.
So problematic. We are pro-wife in the attic. Are we pro-wife in the attic?
Oh, we're absolutely pro-wife in the attic.
Okay, just making sure. I am very pro-wife in the attic. I didn't want to speak for you.
No. It's one of those things where, like, and I know sometimes this probably doesn't come across in the podcast, but, like, I hope it does, is that we love romance novels.
Yes.
And I have read, we've read so many romance novels that are buck fucking wild and problematic and everything, but you still like it because it's still a fantasy and why not? And it's fun. But
I show you the world. Oh, God, I hit that low.
I also think it's important to
point
address
out
the not so great parts of it too.
Yep.
Because,
yep.
I mean, you can't put anything on a pedestal, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So we did it. I did it.
You
Margie,
did it.
I fucking did
you
it.
You did it. And I'm so proud of you.
I've mentioned this a couple times. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick run through of all the bonus shit that's coming out for this episode because it is a big milestone for us. So if you are not a patron, if you are not a patron and you want to head on over to our Patreon, you will have access to, Fitzy's helping, an interview with between me and a good friend of mine who is a psychologist.
What's their name?
Maddie.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have her introduce herself during the interview and everything. But also, she's just a really good friend. She's in my D&D group, and I love her, and she's wonderful. So she is sitting down with me. We're going to have a whole conversation about this. You can go and listen. It's going to be fantastic. And that is just on our Patreon. You don't have to be a patron to get access to that. If you are a patron, we are doing something very special. We are sitting down this weekend and we're watching this movie. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to sit down, we're going to make popcorn, we're going to do a little intro, and we're going to be like, all right, on the count of three, start your movies. One, two, three. And we are going to do live commentary on the 50 Shades of Grey movie. So if you, and that is all patrons. So $2, $4, and $10 patrons. You can pay once and watch it if you want. I don't care.
Yeah, pay one. Give us $2 once and then just quit right after.
If you think that's worth it.
Yeah, if you think it's worth it.
That's fine. So do that. It's going to be great. And if you are a $4 and above patron, so the second tier and above, you will have access to the Under the Covers, which is going to be thick. So our Under the Covers are usually like 20 minutes long. This one's going to be longer. So strap in for that. So that is all of the extra bonus fun content that's going to come out for this. Thank you guys for, I'm sorry if I butchered
hanging
it.
In there.
I'm so nervous because I know
you
I was not at my best
amazing.
When I wrote this note.
You did amazing.
There was definitely a point in there where I'm like, did this happen first or did this happen first? Fuck, I don't know. Whatever.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, just...
Oh, and we're totally going to be drinking during this fucking movie. I'm buying a bottle of whiskey for it.
And I'll probably have wine because I'm a wine bitch.
It's fine. It's true. Yeah, so I think, are we done?
Yeah,
we're
done. Rachel, we're done.
2.5 hours. Well, wait.
Thank you, Anna Mario, for her song, Be Held, off. Wait, for her song, Oh Love. Off of the album Be Held.
You
Thank
did
you.
It.
We
Good
love
job.
It. We love it.
Do you want to ask me what I'm reading?
Do you want to tell me?
I don't think I've been reading anything.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Bye. Happy 69 nights. Bye bye bye.